Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday, August 14th, 2016, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in America. I'm Grant and Taylor Hughes for my show, The Grant and Taylor Hughes Show, with my guest host each week, Gabriella Foster. Hi, Gabriella. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you, Grant. And how about yourself?
I'm just fine. Thank you.
Okay, that's good. We're both fine.
Yes, we're both in great shape.
Yeah.
So each week I specifically go over the four planks of my platform, the bankruptcy platform. We never miss one beat by thoroughly going over the key points, correct?
That is correct. You're absolutely right.
And most of the journeymen on the show testified to the fact that I never miss being topic-driven, correct?
Well, since I'm the only one that's speaking, and I'm going to agree with you, there's not much to say.
So those who have followed the show for many years can get a nice big laugh out of that. Yes, indeed. If anybody's
well, that's
the
other thing. We never use humor on this show. For those of you that listen, you know that we do not use any humor whatsoever. We do not laugh. We do not make jokes. We are not sarcastic.
And we do not eat green
eggs
or ham, too, right?
Pardon me?
We don't eat green eggs and ham, correct?
Sam, I am.
Well, all right. For this week, I will state in the description, the four planks are health, sovereignty, solvency, and afianchetto. All right? So I did get on the subject for at least 5 seconds of the show. Now, what do I want to talk about, right? I will not bring up the Tesla car this
question.
Week.
I want to ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to ask you, do you rehearse that laugh?
Why, you don't like it?
No, it sounds phony, sorry.
Oh, it sounds
That's
fake?
A real laugh,
really?
Right?
Well, I think so. I used to have
laugh sounds
Bert Riff.
Different.
What?
To me, on the phone,
what?
Your laugh sounds different than it does in, in person. So maybe the telephone wires change the sound of your laugh.
That could be. I used to have the Burt Reynolds laugh when he was younger. Like that. But he stole that from me. I was using a longer
You don't do that much anymore.
I
that
don't.
Was when you're younger and you're more boisterous. Yeah, you've calmed down some.
God. I don't think you have.
Well, no, I've gotten more boisterous and you've calmed down. So there we have
that's
it, folks.
Correct. That's true. She is more boisterous than I was in my elder years, I'll say. All right, so we have those four planks. We talk about health. We know that both of us are raw vegan, and that's somewhat controversial. I know veganism is a big deal nowadays, but I'm not a big fan of it. And sometimes we'll eat fish, like clams and stuff, because it's raw. And then the vegans would have a fit. Oh, my gosh, they're eating meat. But if you're Catholic, they consider fish a non-entity. They don't consider it meat. That was always very interesting, wasn't it, how the Catholic Church declares fish as not being meat?
I didn't know. I wasn't brought up Catholic. I know you were. But I think I just want to clarify, we do not eat raw fish very often. It's basically once in a great while because there's the issue that we haven't really resolved about the B12 for both vegans and raw vegans. We're raw vegans, just to clarify that. But so now we're experimenting and seeing chlorella is supposed to take care of that issue. So if chlorella takes care of that issue, then we may not eat raw fish ever again.
And just clarify, chlorella is a algae, a green freshwater algae like spirulina, but I think they're related. But but they're specifically different. And Corella supposedly has active B12, and just some of the nuances of that argument that I decided to use Corella just so people would stop arguing the spirulina thing with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I cave into these things because I just don't want to hear about it. You know, I don't want to have to defend something. Well, I mean, if it's right, but I mean, people have been using spirulina for a long time, but now it's come under fire with about some kind of B12 that doesn't work in it or something. But they say Corella takes care of that. So Corella is that pronounced correctly, Corella?
Well, I believe it's pronounced Chlorella, like chlorine,
Chlorella?
But instead
okay.
of saying chlorine, you're saying Chlorella.
Okay, Chlorella. Chlorella
mm-hmm.
supposedly has a proper B12. So I think Chlorella is still fresh water. I don't think it's blue-green algae, correct?
I'm not sure. I have to do a little research. I can't remember, to be honest.
Well, blue-green is actually salt water, blue-green algae, sea
uh-huh.
algae, blue-green, yeah. Well, you know that. You were there when they were talking about it.
Yes, blue-green
okay.
is fresh water. That's correct.
No, it's seawater. Fresh water, spirulina, and chlorella.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
Are you? We only accept apology and triplicate in writing, and you don't get any copies.
I'll have that overnighted to you. You'll have it first thing in the morning.
All right. Thank you very much. She apologizing for saying blue-green algae is fresh water. That's not true. It's seawater. And it's much more expensive because of that reason. Apparently, it's harder to get. And supposedly better, supposedly. But then there's this argument about... What?
Yes, I want to ask a question.
Go
that
ahead.
E3 Live stuff, that's blue-green, so that's from seawater then, right?
Correct. That's the difference.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure Chlorella is freshwater. I might be wrong, and I might get emails and like, no, Grant, Chlorella is seawater. I'm not sure, okay, to be honest with you. But they're supposed to be, the B12 is supposed to be right on with Chlorella. So everybody can shut up about arguing with me about spirulina.
I don't
Are you
think
there?
Spirulina is bad for you. I think spirulina is still good for you. But it's just if you're concerned about your B12 intake, from what I've read, there's a lot of controversy about whether the B12 in spirulina is analog, which means that it doesn't get absorbed by your body. It has B12, but it doesn't get absorbed by the human body. So, therefore, chlorella, the B12 in chlorella, is supposed to be absorbed.
Thank you very much for that clarification. Now I don't have
to
get into the argument because I quit using spirulina. Because, see,
yeah.
They're picking on some scientists back in the 1930s or something. I think it's that far back, I'm pretty sure. They're picking on some old information, trying to upgrade stuff. But I'm putting that to rest in terms of the usage. But then they also pick on the seawater, I mean the nori or the algae, the green algae, about it being trapped in nets with fish and all that. So then the vegans are up in arms about eating green algae, or algae, period. Because it's all green. All right, so great. So we just sorted out the algae issue, and people now know the difference between those particular algaes. I hope everyone is extremely happy about that. I'm sure they are, correct?
Yes, I'm sure that everybody's thrilled about that information because we know everyone is very interested in that subject matter.
Well, then, see, the B12 is in chlorella, then you wouldn't necessarily have to eat fish, but then the idea with the fish being live is still raw. See, in the end, it's an enzyme issue, more so than even the vital mineral issue. Because enzymes are the catalyst to catalyze those nutrients. So they have to catalyze the minerals in the body. So without the enzyme would be in priority position. And whereas the vitamins or the minerals would be secondary, along with the vegan aspects of the morality of the cow industry and all that, in terms of the abuse of cows. And that's why vegans do it more of a moral issue. I don't think it's nutritional too, but there's still this moral issue about killing animals, which I'm against that, but at the same time, it's not a priority to your health in terms of live enzymes. So you have to prioritize these things in terms of, it's a huge industry. Nobody's going to stop them killing cows. It's a huge, massive, billions and billions of dollars involved with the whole thing. So they're not going to stand down tomorrow. But I am against it. Just like the Groucho Marx song, I'm against it. Whatever it is, I'm against it. I'm against it.
What's the name of that movie? Is that Duck Soup?
Duck Soup or Night at the Opera. It might be Night at the Opera.
Okay.
And I highly recommend the Marx Brothers movies. For those young people that don't know who the Marx Brothers were, we were in a clothing store several months ago, and there was a young girl in there. I said, "Do you know who the Marx Brothers were?" And she said, "No, who are they?"
Well, we grew up with
that's
those reruns
subject.
On TV regularly, and they're not really on TV anymore. It's hard to find them.
Oh, the Marx Brothers?
Well, I mean, I remember the reruns on TV when I grew up, so they don't. I haven't really seen the reruns in a long time.
You remember the Ritz Brothers, don't you?
The Ritz Brothers?
They had the Ritz. You see, you don't know the Ritz Brothers. There was they were similar to the Marx Brothers, called the Ritz Brothers. Seriously, I didn't make that up.
I don't know who they are.
They were a funny group,
okay.
too. I don't know how many of them were. There were three or four of them. I think similar, same around the same time. They were called the Ritz
1930s?
Brothers. Yeah,
okay.
Something like that. Pretty sure. They were funny, too. I know everybody now thinks I'm making that up, but it's not a falsity or a falsehood. That would be a hat that didn't look so good. It was fake. A fake hood. All right, so we're really doing really well today, staying on the subject, aren't we? I think I may get a prize for being non-secular, correct?
Maybe.
Oh, maybe? You mean I won't get
maybe.
A prize?
I don't know.
Well,
you have to wait and
okay,
see.
But, so health has to do with laughter, so we were talking about the Marx Brothers, right? So you're laughing and comedy helps with the health, correct?
Yes.
So is that a real stretch for the health?
Possibly, but it has been proven that laughter, they say laughter is the best medicine. So I think it's true.
Oh, they say that?
The happier
who
you are.
Who are they? Alexander Pope?
I don't know.
Yeah,
well,
go ahead.
Alexander Pope.
Yeah, he was a great poet during, what's that?
Yeah, I don't think that was his saying.
Oh, you don't think so? Uh-uh. All right, so, okay, the second plank is sovereignty, to move right along and not bore everybody stiff. I do apologize to my audience for being non-secular. So we all know what sovereignty is, correct? Gabrielle,
yeah,
you know
correct.
What sovereignty is.
Yeah,
you know what
that's
sovereignty
correct.
Is.
That's
can you
correct.
Take a shot at yes. Can you take a shot at defining sovereignty for me, or to explain a little bit about it, to be put on the spot?
Well, it actually means sole reign, S-O-L-E, is the first word, and reign, R-E-I-G-N, is the second word. So,
oh, not like la pleu en français?
Pardon me?
Le pleu
yes, oui, en français. Je peux expliquer en français, s'il vous plaît.
S'il vous plaît, le plus. All right,
the
well,
first, I can explain it in French if you like. And in fact, I would probably prefer to explain it in French.
Well, probably not. I would appreciate if you wouldn't explain it in French since we're not in français.
Okay.
Oui?
Well, yes, but it does mean soul brain. So every individual has the privilege of having sovereignty, but it has to be enacted.
Ah, all right, but that, when a person is born, what type of sovereignty do they have? That leads you into the answer, maybe. You forgot.
What kind of sovereignty do they have when they're born?
What kind of sovereignty does one have when they're born? Not they, but anyone. You too, when you're born.
Well, it's your birthright.
Well, yeah, but it's a kind of sovereignty. It's called ordained sovereignty.
Oh, okay. Ordained sovereignty. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, they call it ordained sovereignty when you're born. That means it's by birth you have a sovereignty, but it's not enacted sovereignty, and which is my opinion, how very important it is to contract the sovereignty so that now you're proving your birthright through a contract. And why is that? Why do we need a contracted, enacted sovereignty? It's pretty easy. Because we're in a contracts law society. Law society. We're in a paper law society. So therefore, if we have everything on paper, then we need to have a sovereignty on paper too as well, because we have license privileges of use that are issued by the government. And those licenses are considered to be privileges. But how do you use a privilege if you have no right to do it? Or if you can't prove the right to do it? You can prove yourself being there by birth. That would be the birthright. But it doesn't really prove it contractually. The fact that you exist doesn't really work, because you have to show a license in terms of the reality of a picture on a piece of paper that gives you the privilege of driving some sort of vehicle, all right? So that's a privilege. It's not a right, as the policeman says. It's a privilege and not a right. But they don't know how to further explain that. And I've talked about this many times in the show, that they can't further explain it, because in police science and in political science, they don't explain what the birthright is. They don't know how to explain that. I've gone through asking painstakingly questions in the past of different professionals, lawyers, judges, what the birthright was, and they give me a stack of papers, but never get any clarity on it whatsoever. People dance around that all day long, but they really don't understand the birthright, which is one right that people have the right to life, liberty, and happiness, and furthermore, their needs of food, shelter, and clothing. And therefore, that's the birthright, because people compromise by being born, and therefore, by coming to the labor of to the birth canal, they need to be paid for that work. Just like the labor camp internationally, people go to work and they get paid. Well, that's symbolic of actually the birthright, that the true labor was being born and the grand compromise of soul entering the body. And then by being born, then that birthright now allows one to be able to freely get their food, shelter, and clothing. But we don't do that, see. We further make it a practice of going to work, getting a job, and then getting paid that way, which, again, is symbolic of the birthright. It's really a metaphor of what the reality is of birth. Well, this is good stuff tonight. I'm going to replay it and listen to it. This guy really knows what he's talking about. Well, you can't go anywhere and get this information. It's real critical mass, because it explains ordained sovereignty. See, the ordained right of life, okay, being born, that's a big deal, but they don't make it a big enough deal, and then they tag a license on a registration birth certificate right away as soon as they're born. You see what I mean? But we don't give them the enacted sovereignty right away, which they should. So what happens when they put the license on the baby when it's born. Immediately, once that license is issued, there's a civil tort taking place. See, because they have ordained sovereignty, they have no contracted sovereignty, and right away there's a violation there. There's a license violation. That's rather interesting, don't you think?
Yes. Can you go over that again for everyone?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. What?
Would you go over that again, please?
I will. In other words, when a child is born in the hospitals, they'll issue birth certificates, correct? Okay, so the birth certificate is a license for using the privilege of birth, all right? The government issues the privileges of birth to the child, which is rather repugnant when you think about it. It means if you're born, now you have the privilege of being born into a government, right? So as soon as that license is issued, where is the enacted sovereignty? Where is the right to use that privilege contractually? Where is it?
Where is the right to use that license?
Yeah, where's the right to use that license? Where's the right? By birth? The birth is enough to prove that you can use a license issued by the government in a contractual law society?
No.
Okay. You agree to that then. It doesn't make sense, does it? In other words, you can't prove up that you're a human being. You might be a cow in the field dressed up in a suit. See, and especially nowadays in America when they do, like that, I say, why don't you just go, right? So what's the difference between somebody going, because they might be a cow, right? They can only do that one syllable, the onomatopoeia of the first letter in the word moo. Boy, Grantham's funny, isn't he?
So maybe it's a very educated cow.
Ah, there you go. But he's still not enacted sovereign. He might be birthed to the birth canal of the mother cow.
Mm-hmm.
But how would you prove that he's a human?
How would you prove that the cow's a human?
Yeah, how would you prove a cow's a human?
Well, because it's got
he'd have to utter a sentence, right?
He'd have to utter a sentence. Very funny. That was really funny.
Thank you very much.
And
Thank you very much.
Also, he has more than one stomach.
Hey, that was a pretty good joke. How do you know that a cow is sorry? You have to utter a sentence.
That's pretty funny.
Utterly. I know, thank you very much.
Yeah, utterly funny.
You think I wrote that down, or I made that up on the fly as it buzzes around the cow? Buzz.
You mean the fly? Yeah, that's what I was going to say, the fly that's sitting on the cow.
Yeah, you can just run with this. It really works, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it's a working joke. That's probably going
well,
to drive everyone crazy soon.
Pardon me?
I said it's going to drive everybody crazy soon if they hear one more joke about it.
Yeah, well, then they'll have to utter a sentence to prove that they're human or a cow. Right, but see, therein lies the issue of why people go to school. They don't want them to be bovine, so to speak, like cows in the field. They don't want them to be animalistic, so they think by going to school, that raises to them a level of sentience, like a human being, right, when you're educated. If you're not educated, you're illiterate, then you're considered an animal, when, in fact, sensate means animalistic of the five senses. Sentience, in my opinion, would be 10 senses. But we don't know what the other five are. They don't teach those in school. They teach people they have five senses, don't they?
Yeah.
I've given this information before. Some of this is old, so I do apologize. But I haven't talked about it in a while.
Information, but
what's that?
Yes, that's what they teach, you know, is that we all just have five senses. They don't teach about the other five senses.
No, and what are the other five senses?
The other five senses are, oh, I probably don't have them in order. But speaking is
what?
One.
Speaking. Speaking, yes.
Yeah.
That would be the ninth sense.
The ninth sense. There's something about a sense of humor in there?
Yeah, that would be the sixth sense. It's ESP. Extremely silly people.
Then there's...
you
then
really
there's
took
also...
that seriously, didn't you? ESP, right?
Yes.
Boy, you just went right over that. You didn't even flinch at that, how ridiculous it is. However, I think it's true. In terms of, you know, just the extrasensory would be really laughter, is what the sixth sense is supposedly. In terms of the...
Reading
the
and
Himalayan
writing.
Mass. Yeah, reading, writing, speaking, and dreaming. Dreaming's a tenth sense.
And dreaming? Okay, so reading,
dreaming,
writing, most
that would be the orthodox sense. What? What?
Most people consider reading and writing as a learned behavior.
Thank you very much. You've heard me say that many times before. But then once you learn the behavior, it becomes a sense. It's a part of your senses. Don't you do reading and writing every single day of your life?
Yes,
that is sentience in a human being, to be able to decipher a code that's between the humans. In other words, we create a code that's a written code, and we decipher it. So when you create the written code, you're able to write it, then deciphering it would be reading. See, that becomes a sentience capability of the 10 senses of an advanced human being. It's called cultural literacy. So cultural literacy would be considered a sentient being. But then they claim that humans by birth are sentient. Well, potentially, but not everybody can read and write.
Well, animals then have seven senses because they can dream. I mean, dogs dream.
Yeah, we infer that. We don't know as human beings.
I know.
We don't know
for sure.
Animals dream. That's an inference.
Yeah, that's true. And what about speech? They have their own form of speech. They make vocal noises.
Oh,
doggy
I understand that, but they're not. It's not codified.
Speech.
There's no dictionaries. What?
Might be codified to them.
Well, I mean, I think some of the anthropologists are trying to prove that they have a language, but they do communicate with each other. But again, in terms of codification and a writing or deciphering and reading, then it's not really a sentient factor, see.
Okay.
You can't really declare sentience if you can't pass along that code. If it's just sort of making sounds and they pick it up instinctually, that's okay, but I'm not going to sit around studying animal behaviors because to me it's not as evolved as a human being. I really believe that. I don't want to raise anthropological zoology to a high level degree like they try to do that, thinking the dolphins are equivalent or higher than human beings. I beg to differ. But we can talk about that next week. We did pretty good. We blew off 30 minutes fairly easy. Gabrielle, thank you for being on the show this week. I really appreciate your commentary. It was very effervescent. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks for the opportunity, Grantham.
To offer your effervescence?
To offer my effervescence, yes, because I just took a fizzy lifting tablet. So I had
you
lots
took
of
a fizzy lifting tablet from Willy Wonka, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So
let me thank the journeymen that come each week and the new people that come each week also as well. I really appreciate your presence and participation and listening in. I apologize for not doing Q&A, but about 8 years ago, we used to get hecklers because we didn't have filters to keep them away, and we stopped doing the Q&A. So with that in mind, or out of your minds, whatever, everyone have a really great week, and I got to get down about 10 seconds here. So should I sing a song?
I don't know. It's up to you.
Well, I can't. I don't have any time left. This is Grantham Taylor Hughes. Have a great week. And see you next week. And goodbye for now.